Welcome to the Origine Podcast. I'm Jamie, and today we're diving into some fascinating new research on cancer and blood clots.
And I'm Alex, joining Jamie to break down a really important study about how cancer cells might be contributing to dangerous blood clots through some tiny cellular messengers. This is cutting-edge stuff that could change how we treat cancer patients at risk for these complications.
That's right, Alex. Today we're looking at research published in Advanced Science that explores the connection between cancer cells, these things called extracellular vesicles, or EVs for short, and a serious condition called venous thromboembolism, which many of our listeners might know simply as blood clots.
Jamie, I think it's worth mentioning that venous thromboembolism, or VTE, is actually the second leading cause of death in cancer patients. It's a huge clinical problem, and understanding the mechanisms behind it could literally save lives.
Absolutely. And what makes this research so interesting is that it focuses on a specific process called netosis, which is essentially when certain immune cells called neutrophils release these web-like structures made of DNA and proteins. But the big question has been, how exactly do cancer cells trigger this process?
And that's exactly what this team investigated. They looked at these tiny particles called extracellular vesicles, basically little bubbles that bud off from cancer cells and travel through the bloodstream. Think of them as the cell's messaging system, carrying all sorts of molecular information.
Right, and they specifically compared two different sizes of these vesicles, small EVs and large EVs, to see which ones might be responsible for triggering this netosis process. What they found was pretty remarkable.
It really was. Both types of vesicles could actually trigger netosis, but the researchers ended up focusing more on the larger ones for a few reasons. They're easier to isolate in the lab, they're produced in greater quantities, and they seem to carry more of the proteins that are important for this process.
And this is where it gets really interesting. The researchers identified a specific protein called CYBA that seems to be the key player here. When cancer cells release these large vesicles containing CYBA and neutrophils take them up, it triggers this whole cascade of events inside the neutrophils.
Exactly. And what happens in this cascade is fascinating. The CYBA protein leads to an increase in something called reactive oxygen species, or ROS, inside the neutrophils. This then causes changes to the DNA packaging inside the cell, specifically something called histone citrullination.
And all of this ultimately leads to the neutrophil releasing its DNA in those web-like structures we mentioned earlier, the nets. These nets then create a perfect environment for blood clots to form. It's like they're laying out the welcome mat for clotting factors.
That's a great way to put it, Jamie. And what's really compelling about this study is that they didn't just observe this in lab dishes. They actually tested it in mice too, and found that injecting these cancer-derived large EVs into mice significantly increased their risk of developing blood clots.
To where it gets even more interesting from a clinical perspective. When they blocked either the CYBA protein or inhibited those reactive oxygen species we mentioned, they could actually prevent this whole process from happening. The mice had fewer blood clots, which suggests a potential therapeutic approach.
That's such an important point. I mean, currently treating blood clots in cancer patients is really challenging because anti-clotting medications can increase bleeding risk, especially in patients who might already have low platelet counts from chemotherapy. So having a more targeted approach could be game-changing.
Absolutely. And what's particularly interesting about targeting this pathway is that it's different from the conventional approaches to preventing blood clots. Most current strategies focus on directly inhibiting the clotting cascade, but this would be targeting the underlying inflammatory process that creates the environment for clots to form in the first place.
You know, I'm curious about something, Jamie.
The researchers mentioned that tissue factor was found in both small and large EVs. Tissue factor is known to be a major initiator of the clotting cascade. Do you think there might be a connection between these net formations and tissue factor activity?
That's a really insightful question, Alex. The paper actually touches on this. There seems to be a bi-directional relationship. Net formations can provide a platform for tissue factor to initiate clotting. And conversely, some components of nets can upregulate tissue factor expression. So it's like a self-reinforcing cycle that makes the blood even more prone to clotting.
That makes a lot of sense. So cancer cells are essentially creating this perfect storm for blood clots by releasing these vesicles that trigger both the inflammatory net formation and the coagulation cascade through tissue factor. No wonder cancer patients have such a high risk of clots.
Exactly. And I think this is what makes the research so valuable. It's uncovering these complex interactions between cancer, inflammation, and coagulation. And importantly, it's identifying specific molecular targets that could be druggable.
Speaking of which, the researchers mentioned several potential approaches to targeting this pathway. There are NADPH oxidase inhibitors like apecitin that could block ROS production, or more targeted approaches that specifically inhibit CYBA. Though they did note some challenges with systemic inhibition, potentially disrupting normal immune function.
That's a great point about the challenges. I think they suggested that timing might be important, maybe using these inhibitors during high-risk periods, like after surgery or during certain chemotherapy regimens, rather than continuously. That might help balance the benefits against potential side effects.
Absolutely. And they also mentioned potentially combining these approaches with traditional anticoagulants, which might allow for lower doses of both and reduce side effects while still preventing clots. It's all about finding that sweet spot in treatment.
You know, what I find most exciting about this research is how it connects so many dots between cancer biology and thrombosis. By understanding these molecular mechanisms, we're not just learning about how cancer causes blood clots. We're potentially uncovering new ways to intervene that could save lives.
I couldn't agree more. And I think it's worth noting that this kind of mechanistic understanding is exactly what leads to breakthrough treatments. Just like how understanding the role of HER2 in breast cancer led to targeted therapies like Herceptin, understanding CYBA's role in cancer-associated thrombosis could lead to entirely new preventative strategies.
That's such a great analogy, Alex. Well, as we wrap up today's discussion, I think the key takeaway is that cancer-associated blood clots aren't just a random complication. They're the result of specific molecular pathways that cancer cells activate through these extracellular vesicles. And understanding these pathways opens up new therapeutic possibilities.
Absolutely. And for any healthcare providers listening, this research highlights the importance of considering thrombosis risk in cancer patients, not just as something to manage after it happens, but potentially as something we could prevent more effectively in the future with targeted approaches. It's really promising work.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode of the Aurigene Podcast. We want to thank our listeners for joining us for this deep dive into cancer biology and thrombosis. If you enjoyed this discussion, please subscribe and join us next time as we explore more cutting-edge research in the biomedical sciences.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next time.